Good afternoon, Justices. My name is Lois Dawson, and I am the attorney for the appellant in this matter. And this is Dorothy Thomas versus Michael E. Thomas. This is a family court matter on the division of marital property. Excuse my voice. I seem to be losing it. This was a long marriage of 34 years or more. The parties were comfortable, but they did not live extravagantly. There were three children, and...
Ms. Dawson, just to cut through this, okay. I just want to make sure I understand the gist of your client's position.
Okay.
It's a property division.
Correct. Right?
And key to that division was a finding of the family court that your client's the value of your client's ownership of 2 acres of property was worth a certain amount of money.
Yes.
And that finding drove the resulting property split. Is that correct?
I think that it did, Your Honor.
Okay, and I gather, and tell me if I have it right, that that finding of value was a factual finding that was simply wrong because there was no evidence or no sufficient evidence to support it.
It was just a supposition by the husband who said one day he thought he had a conversation before they divorced that the property was worth $1 million.
Is that basically the essence of your client's position, or is there more?
It is, and furthermore, that there was some other evidence that would be better evidence if you were going to choose to value that 2-acre property, and that would
be. How could you not value that 2-acre property? Isn't that part of what the court was supposed to do?
Yes, Your Honor, they were.
And wasn't it your client's burden to establish that value?
I don't think so, Your Honor. Judge Cooch has a decision, Page versus State, in which she talks about it being the person making the allegation. And it was clearly the husband who was making the allegation that the property was worth $1 million.
Well, wait a second. I don't claim to know the intricacies of property disputes in family court, but one party, the former husband has a variety of assets. Those assets have to be valued. And the former wife has a variety of assets that also have to be valued. And I thought that each party was responsible for valuing its assets. Is that not correct?
Well, Your Honor, I think that in this situation, we questioned husband's assets and inheritance, and I went forth and went through all his assets under the inheritance to come up with my own number, and that's the number that we used.
Well, wait a second. Isn't there some sort of sheet that you have to submit that says, here are my assets and here's what they're worth?
Yes.
And did your client put in an item for this property and what its value was?
We did put in, but in the interim between the time of the paperwork. Okay.
What was submitted to the court by your client as to the value of that property?
That at the 52D, she submitted that it was, she had a half interest in 2 acres in Kaolin, Pennsylvania with her brother, who died 3 weeks before the hearing, which changed the circumstances.
Okay, but you haven't answered my question. What did she submit as the value of that property?
She was unable to submit a value to it.
So she puts in zero?
She put in, unknown.
Unknown, okay. So you have an asset, or your client has an asset, and it's given no value by your client because your client apparently didn't bother to have it appraised.
It was not appraisable at that point. It's a complicated situation where that property is.
I understand that it was part of a larger parcel and that a substantial number of acres had already been sold, but that there were, I think, 2 acres remaining.
Right.
And even if there was a half interest, How is it possible that you can't value those 2 acres?
My client did testify that the acreage, the 12 acres sold for $1.2 million, and that that was the value of those acres. And these other 2 acres were adjoining. And so there was that evidence in front of the court to say that those 2 remaining acres would be $100,000 an acre.
Well, what should the court have done? You know, your position is either that your client didn't have the burden of obtaining accurate value, or at least reliable valuation evidence, or even if she did, it wasn't possible to get it at that time. What was the court to do?
Well, Your Honor, I think the court would do better to have taken the acreage, the known real estate values that they had been able to see from the last sale of those 12 acres, rather than husband throwing out a number, which he did, which the court repeatedly said that was the value of it.
Well, did you argue before the family court that it was worth $200,000?
We argued that the other acreage sold for that as part of our argument, yes.
Well, did you say that, therefore, by inference, implication, these particular acres were also worth an equivalent amount?
My client honestly said that she didn't know the value because there had been some changes from 2006. The market was down. Commercial people were telling her that they couldn't appraise it,
well,
frankly.
Did she know the value in 2006?
I assume it was the same as the other two, the rest of the acreage, yes.
Was there sufficient evidence to allow an inference that, at least as of 2006, and then apply some kind of CPI analysis that as to what it would be worth presently?
Well, I think you could, Your Honor. I would even say that the court might not even have to go any further than but taking the 2006 value of the 12 acres that were sold, because I realize there'd be a difference in value now, but even if they took the old number because that's what was given to them, that would have been a reasonable thing to do because it was some honest figure that came from adjoining acreage in the same block.
Well, the husband submitted or at least argued valuation evidence based on testimony that was given by the husband,
yes.
Correct?
Husband testified that two things. First, he testified that he remembers a conversation after wife's father's death that the property was worth $1 million. And then when on cross, he pointed out that he didn't think that the remaining 2 acres could possibly be worth anything like
that. But that was his testimony, and the court ended up relying on it for purposes of its judgment, arriving at its judgment.
Yes.
What we need to know is what argument was made from your side, the wife's side, to the family court, and based on what evidence? The argument that was made.
The argument was made that there were 14 acres and that 12 were sold and that $1.2 million was the end result of that sale, and that the remaining 2 acres were slightly unknown because of the difference, but basically.
So what's the bottom line of that? In other words, if I'm the family court, what am I supposed to conclude?
If 12 acres sold for $1.2 million, the remaining 2 acres would be $100,000 an acre, and that there would be $200,000 in value of the 2 remaining acres.
And is that part of the record here that you made that argument to the trial court?
I don't know that we argued. My client said she wasn't sure at that point of the current value, but we did very carefully explain what the other amount was.
Well, here's the problem that I think we're all having. The trial court had to give a value to this property.
Right.
And it sounds, even today, in arguing in front of our court, that you're hedging. You're not saying this is the value that we put on this property, here's how we got it, here's what we told the court it was. you know, you say it should be $100,000 an acre because it was 1.2 million for the sale of 12 acres and all that kind of thing, and then you say, but my client testified that she didn't really know, and I ask you, well, did you make this argument to the court that it's $100,000 each? And you answer me, well, you know, we told the court about the other sale.
I don't think we actually made the argument, Your Honor, that it she never testified that she believed it was worth 100,000 acre at that point in time.
And did anybody give arguments at the end of these presentations as to what this value should be?
I don't think so. I don't think either side did. I don't think we had a closing argument.
Okay, so what we've got is a hearing at which the person who owns the property says, I don't know what it's worth, but I know there was this transaction, and here's what happened in that transaction. And then the husband gets on the stand and says, well, I remember the wife telling me that it was worth $1 million, right? And that's it. That's all the court has in the way of evidence as to the value of this property, right?
Well, we also have husband on cross. When I asked him, did he truly think it was worth $1 million, and he said no. He recanted. He said, I personally, no, I don't think so.
But, again,
I know he's not the owner.
Well, no, it's more than that. We're talking about the court having to put a value on something, and the party that has the most interest in getting that value right and not having it be overvalued is your client, and your client comes in and says, I don't know.
Well,
you know,
say,
now on appeal you're saying, oh, this was, you know, the court clearly misvalued, made a factual finding that was in error.
Well I think they did, because
what?
If you're taking a husband's statement which had nothing behind it.
Well, supposedly that's what wife said it was worth.
After her father's death, which would have been before the 12 acres were sold.
Again, you know, it sounds like these are the things that you should have been saying to the trial court, but instead you left the trial court with only two pieces of evidence. One, the fact that there had been a sale of a large portion of the property, and that the owner of the property doesn't know what the remaining 2 acres are worth, and two, the husband saying that the wife said it was worth $1 million, but he didn't know, and he didn't think it was really worth $1 million. So what's the court supposed to do, just pick a number?
Well, Your Honor, I think that there are times, I did think we left the court lacking in that. I'm not going to deny that. I think we left the family court lacking in a description of the value of the 2 acres totally. But I think that we gave the best evidence for the court, something logical, solid, to go on, that they could look at as far as the actual value of that land.
And that's after putting unknown on the form that you had to submit, and after her testifying unknown in court. When you got the court's decision, did you move for reconsideration saying, you know, you got this number wrong?
No, Your Honor, we didn't. We took it took a little bit of time with my client discussing this with her to make some decision on this.
You say in your reply brief, wife's testimony placed a value of $100,000 on each acre as of 2006. Do you stand by that today?
Not that she's wife. I'm sorry.
Do you stand by? Did she testify that it was worth $100,000?
She testified that the 12 acres were worth $100,000 each.
And that included these 2 acres or not?
She only testified to what was actually sold.
Right, 12 acres at $1.2 million,
right.
$100,000 an acre.
Yes.
Right, and your position, at least now, and maybe inferentially from the testimony, was that on that basis, the 2 acres, which had a submitted value of unknown, would be worth approximately $100,000 an acre.
Well, that would be the best evidence available, I believe, to the court.
But that point wasn't specifically and pointedly argued to the trial judge. Is that right?
That's true.
Okay. And after the trial judge came out with a million-dollar valuation, the error that you're complaining of now wasn't called to his attention by a motion for re-argument or reconsideration.
I did not, Your Honor.
You're into your rebuttal time. If you'd like to save it or use it, it's your choice.
Thank you. I'll save it.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. My name is Judy Jones. I am counsel for the appellee, Michael Thomas. The issue, as Your Honors have already, and your justices have already heard, is whether or not the family court abused its discretion or erred as a matter of law regarding an alleged valuation of real property that was in wife's inherited property that was not part of the marital estate, but was considered by the trial judge in the overall factors that a judge must consider in deciding what percentage distribution to ultimately divide the marital estate.
Before you go any further, was there anything special about these 2 acres as compared to the rest of that parcel?
There's no way of knowing, Your Honor, and that is because there wasn't that evidence that was specifically presented to the trial court, except for the fact that husband testified, my client testified, that these 2 acres were on Route 41 in Pennsylvania, that there was an old rundown gas station, and that he remembered a conversation that with his former wife, that as part of these particular acres, there was the possibility of the zoning, if purchased by another buyer, to have that zoning grandfathered in. So the only testimony or the only evidence as to anything different from these 2 acres, apart from the 12 acres that was sold 5 years earlier, was the possibility that maybe it was some type of commercial property or there was some type of special zoning issues.
But what the record shows, based on some of the answers given by Ms. Dawson, are that neither side was really sure and could express with any confidence what these 2 acres were worth.
And that's true. However, it's my client's position that it wasn't his burden to present that evidence of the valuation of his former wife's inheritance.
Well, how do we get from there to a conclusion by the family court judge that the parties were equally situated?
Respectfully, the trial judge didn't say that they were equally situated. He said that they were similar. And he said that they were similar based on the evidence that he had in front of him. He said that it was likely that they were in similar situations. He specifically did not place a value on this property, and that's in the court's decision, I think, on page 3 of the judge's decision.
Well, if he says they are similar, there must be a range that the value of the property must fall into in order to be similar. Is that so?
That is correct, but the range that you're possibly looking at is the evidence that was presented to that trial judge, and that's going to be the evidence in the way of testimony presided by husband, that he said that he recalls a conversation with his former wife where she said that it was worth $1 million. And an insinuation by wife, although not specifically presented to the trial judge, that maybe these acres are worth $200,000. Without the judge having anything more specific, all he can conclude is some range in between there. If wife comes into trial in front of the trial judge and says, I don't know how much these acres are worth, then she doesn't know what the value of her total inheritance is worth. And if she doesn't know what the value of her total inheritance is worth, how can she come in and argue to the trial judge and now that my inheritance, wife's inheritance, was less than husbands. It could be more than husbands.
Well, the record is certainly cloudy on that point. And what seems equally cloudy, but maybe you can help clarify it, is what exactly the trial judge found. Two things. First, what did the trial judge found with respect to those 2 acres? And secondly, is it your position that whatever that value was, it was not important or material, that is, in the sense that it drove the analysis that led to the more or less equal property split?
To answer the first part of the question, I believe what the trial judge specifically found, and I think that's found on pages 5 and 6 of his decision, is that the court is unable to value the total amount of wife's inheritance because it does not have information as to the value of the 2 acres of land.
Well, why shouldn't an appraiser be appointed at that point? If neither party comes in with any evidence, how can the court do its job?
Because I think it's just one of all of the other 11 factors that this court, that the trial court needed to take into consideration. And I think importantly, as the judge kind of made an analysis from, is the income being generated from both of the inheritances as far as the liquid or the cash values that they had at that point in time. Husband was absolutely specifically able to testify that the income generated from his inheritance was generating like a little over $19,000 a year, and that was from the prior tax year where he had the tax returns done and completed, and he was very specific as to the income that was being generated from his inheritance.
I think what's part of the problem we have is that there are 2 different pictures being painted here of what happened. The impression or the picture that we're be given from Weiss' side is that the court did make a valuation. It was based on totally unreliable evidence, and it was wrong. But that mathematically was significant because it drove what was otherwise a fairly precise calculation of assets and led to equality on both sides. What we're hearing from you is number one, the court did not assign any value, and number two, that there wasn't any mathematical calculation that you could follow from the record to get to a distribution of equality of assets. Is that which is what happened here?
I think it's the latter, Your Honor, and I think the judge specifically did not place a value on it, but what the judge did do is take a look at the range of the value that was being presented from both sides and the limited evidence that he had, and basically said, well, if husband's inheritance is generating about $19,000 a year and wife has cash that she acknowledged in her inheritance that was generating $10,000 of income and interest a year, that is still... It may not be equal, but it's still similar enough based on all of the other 10 remaining factors for this court to still divide the overall marital estate equally. These parties were married over 34 years. Both of them were in their 60s. Wife was 7 years younger. There was no issues as to dissipation. In fact, it was an incredibly high marital estate in the scheme of things.
Just to make sure I have it right, you're saying that the trial judge eyeballed all the assets on both sides, didn't single out the 2 acres.
Absolutely.
And yes. Basically made his call based on an eyeball estimate of both of each side's total assets that lent themselves to division.
Yes, that's exactly what we're saying.
And just let me be clear about that. This was not an asset that was a marital asset.
Absolutely.
So the significance of the property, of the value of the land, had to do with what resources each party would have going forward from which to either sell property and acquire other property or generate income.
And absolutely, and that's correct. And that's why I think the trial judge's calculation as to the rate of return at a 3% rate of return, the cash that wife did have available, how that translated to what husband could absolutely specifically state that he was earning in income, I think that's where that is relevant. Additionally, Your Honors, these 2 acres could be worth more than what Mr. Thomas has.
Well, the court said husband's inheritance appears to be slightly larger than wife's. So that
appears. I think he couched the terms because the trial judge did not know, and there's no way for him to know. If wife doesn't know the overall value of her inheritance, she's not able to say definitively, mine is less than yours, and so I'm going to be in a poor economic circumstances going forward.
Well,
she cannot possibly make that argument.
That statement that the wife's inheritance appears to be slightly less than husband's?
I'm sorry.
The converse of that statement, that husband's inheritance appears to be slightly larger than wife's, the converse would be wife's inheritance appears to be slightly less than husband's. And is there a factual record to support that?
I don't think there is a factual record to support that. But again, I don't believe that that was Mr. Thomas's burden at trial to prove.
Speaking of the burden, let's put aside for a moment who had the technical legal burden. I do understand your position to be that, aside from that, the wife certainly had the better opportunity because she had access to her own property and therefore was in a better position to submit reliable valuation information. But let's assume that, let's put aside the question of the burden. Let me say it a different way. Even if we were to rule against you on the question of burden, would it matter in this case? That is, was there an abuse of discretion, given what was produced?
I don't think that there was an abuse of discretion, and that's because I believe that if anybody presented evidence as to the value, as thin as that evidence might have been on the value of these 2 acres, it came from husband. Wife may not agree with it, but her testimony very specifically was, I have no idea what these 2 acre, what this property is worth. She specifically stated that. She gave, apart from some historical background about 12 other acres that may or may not have been related, that may or may not have been connected, she did not present, even in the way of testimony, any evidence from her position as to what the value was. So the only other person that did, and the only other thing that the trial judge had to go on, was what husband was saying.
Yeah, but did the trial judge go on it?
Pardon me?
Did the trial judge go on it?
I don't think he did, Your Honor. I think
so it really doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. And I think even assuming that wife's argument is factually correct and the value of the land either has no value or has nothing more than $200,000 worth of value, I don't think it makes a difference in this case. I don't think it makes a difference because there was no testimony that the parties relied on the income being generated from either one of the inheritances during the marriage. It didn't fund the standard of living. Husband was very specific that he didn't touch his inheritance in any way, shape, or form. Wife was very specific in that the little bit of money that she did use, roughly $100,000, was primarily used after the date of the separation. It was not income that was being generated to support the standard of living or to support and acquire assets for the marriage going forward. What was being used is wife's contribution as the homemaker and the primary caregiver of the children and husband as the primary breadwinner. And so then if we're taking a look at dividing the overall marital estate, taking a look at all of the 1513 factors under Title 13 of the Delaware Code, I think you would still end up, even if it were remanded, with the same conclusion from the trial court. It was still a very long marriage. They're both still at fixed incomes. They still have, both of them have, inheritance that are going to be generating some income. Wife is actually younger than husband. They have sizable marital estates, over $1 million in retirement assets, over $1 million in cash assets, and that's on a 50-50 split. So I don't believe that if there's more income being generated from non-marital property, especially if that non-marital property, that income from the inheritances, didn't lead to the acquisition of the marital property that the court was dividing, I don't believe that ultimately the value of the land has much impact.
So what is a trial court to do when a party does not value an asset, just says, I don't know? In some cases, an appraiser gets appointed and that cost gets assessed. Why shouldn't that have happened?
I think it goes back to my same answer, and that is ultimately I don't think that it's going to have an impact on the trial judge's decision, and that's because I do, even though that issue was litigated, and litigated somewhat heavily at trial, so was husband's issue about whether he should or should not be employed, or some of the value of some of his other assets, the value of his law practice. I don't think that it's going to or would have an impact in this particular case. Wife testified that she, you know, hadn't listed the property for sale. It wasn't listed for sale. She hadn't even contacted a real estate agent or an appraiser or anything like that. She had no idea as to what she was going to do with it. If she's not liquidating the value and it's not going to be put into some type of form where it's going to be generating income for her that then puts them in the same economic situation as far as generating income, what does it matter?
One of the questions that was, I guess, lurking in the briefs is what exactly is the standard of review that we should be focusing on? To the extent that claim of error here is that the court got the facts wrong, that is, came up with an erroneous valuation of the 2 acres, I gather the standard of review would be substantial evidence. But your response would be there was no finding, and therefore there's nothing to review. There was no error because there was no finding.
And that's absolutely correct. I think it's an abuse of discretion. I think having to look at the record, this court has to look at the record below to see if any findings that the judge made is supported factually by that record. If there's nothing presented to the trial judge, I don't believe that it's your honor's job to go back and fix that in that type of situation.
That's okay, so abuse of discretion is the standard.
Yes, I believe abuse of discretion is the standard. I certainly do not believe that there's any real contention that there's any type of error of law. If there's no, I'm sorry.
The $1 million value attributed to the wife, was that attributed based on her assessment that the property was worth that, or that her brother hoped to sell the property for that?
Husband's testimony was that he had a conversation with wife, and wife told him that that's what her and her brother had hoped to sell the property for. And I think, just to go back with one of the things my colleague had said in her opening, was that husband backtracked, and I think a review of the record in that question on cross-examination, that's not what husband had said. I think on cross-examination, the question was posed to husband, you don't really think that's true? And his response was no, that's not correct. His response was, there's a gas station on it. You know, my understanding was that the zoning allows for a potential buyer to perhaps be grandfathered into the zoning, which I think, if in review of the record, gives support to husband thinking maybe the value was that high. And
from your standpoint, that's much ado about nothing, right?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I just opened the appendix to A91. Did you have a discussion with your former wife with regard to the 2 remaining acres from her inheritance? Answer, well, she told me they were going to try and sell it. Question, for what? Answer, well, she never said what they were going to sell it for. I thought she said her brother hoped to sell it for $1 million. So that's basically hearsay as to what the brother's expectation of value would be?
Yes, but coming from a conversation that he had with wife.
And so there's no admission by the wife that it's worth $1 million?
No, I think that's correct. There was no admission. But turning to the appendix A100, I think, is the cross-examination discussion that husband had, in which I think he clarified why he think the value was probably closer to $1 million. Thank you. If there's no further questions, Your Honor, respectfully, for the reasons already articulated, we would ask this court to affirm the trial court's decision below. Thank you.
Your Honors, I just have one brief thing. If it was so unimportant, why would the judge repeatedly say that there was a value of one, that they were similarly situated, that they were at the same time, let's see, on page 5 and 6, husband's inheritance appears to be slightly larger than wife's, and then otherwise the parties appear to be similarly situated on page 13. The court also states that the husband testified that at some point there was talk of selling the property for $1 million.
Yes, but the
it just trial, goes on and on.
But the trial judge in the end says, I can't place any value on that 2 acres.
But he repeatedly puts them in the same place and says that they are, that at this, at least her situation is no different than husband's at this point in time.
Yes,
on page
but what
17.
Are we to make of his finding when all is said and done? I mean, you've got on the one hand these musings, and then you have a determination, or at least what it appears to, what we're told is a determination, that he can't place any value on it.
Well, he does, and each time when he says they're similarly situated, and he repeats that husband over and over again has testified that is the 2 acres are worth $1 million.
Well, let me get to that, because in your opening argument, you were suggesting to the court that the evidence from your side was that the other 10 acres sold for $1.2 million, therefore the remaining 2 acres are worth $100,000 each. And the evidence, in fact, is that those 2 acres were very different from the other acres because they were on the road and had the potential for being zoned commercial, and that when the discussion took place, if it did, about the potential value and the possible $1 million, that related to only those 2 acres because they were different. Isn't that correct?
I believe that there were more acres that was also on the road, but given what I recall of the property and the area, but that's outside of the scope of what was testified to be honest. So I'm not so sure that they were that different. And also in discussions with my client. I do know that area a little bit.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. We'll take the matter under advisement and adjourn.